November 22nd, 2020. Let's talk this morning about the history and development of saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Now, really, the class was inspired by a conversation after the class last week. After the class last week, in a conversation about the class amongst us, Jeffrey Dweck said, well, in whatever the circumstance he was talking about, he said, if I want to designate, if I want to show that I'm not interested in being Yotzei Yedei Choba, if I want to show that I'm not interested in fulfilling the mitzvah through someone else saying the beracha for me, I'll just say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. And by so doing, I'm showing that their beracha on Shofar, Lulav, Mikra Megillah is not what I want to use as fulfillment of my obligation to do that beracha and to perform the mitzvah. That's what he said. And in context, I then said to him, so you were sold on that one as well. In other words, he raised his eyebrows. In other words, what I was saying was, what makes you so certain that when you say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, it's in any way deficient in the context of wanting to fulfill a mitzvah? So Rani Hirsch heard that and he said, oh, so next week's class is on Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. So here we are. Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo is the topic of the class. Okay, we'll miss him in Florida. He can Zoom from Florida. That's the nice part of Zoom. But we'll forgive him. He'll listen. Anyway, so in getting through to the specific of Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, in other words, saying those words, when you want to fulfill a mitzvah, we have to start, you know, several steps back. And that is, what's the origin of saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo? Of course, I refer to those words, which, for example, in Hazarat Hashatz, when we repeat the Amidah, at the end of every single beracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, says the Hazan, and everyone seems to respond in unison, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. P.S., or parentheses, if you've ever noticed that I don't, well, you won't any longer because of a mask. We'll discuss that at a later point in the class, but really it's from a young age. I noticed my father didn't, and I asked him why he didn't. He said, well, his rabbi didn't, in turn, I didn't, and only understood it later on. But that's just a parenthesis. What's the origin of saying it? So you'll say, of course, it's mentioned in Talmud. No mention in Talmud, another one of these. No mention explicitly in any midrash that we have. In other words, nothing going back over 1,000 years. What is the first explicit mention of it? It's in Tur. Tur, of course, being the son of Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, quotes his father, Rosh, who we've mentioned so many times, a very important 13th and then 14th century rabbi from Germany and then Spain, says his son in Siman Kuf Chavdalet, Shama'ati me'aba Mari, or Abba Mori, Shehaya omer al kol beracha beracha shehaya shome'a bechol makom, he would say on any beracha that he heard in any context, Baruchu u'baruch shemo. He would say, after God's name, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, blessed is he and blessed is his name. Vezeu she'amar Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. And that's what it means in the Torah, when the Torah says, Ki shem Adonai yekra, havu godel Eloheinu. I mention God's name, you should give greatness. What's greatness? Say, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, I mentioned his name, bless his name. Ve'od continues Tur in the name of his father. Afilu kishemazkirin sadik basar vadam sarich levarecho. Even if you mention a righteous person, you should immediately say, God bless him, or how wonderful he is. Shene'emar zeche sadik libracha pasuk in mishle. A sadik, a righteous person, should get that recognition as well. Well, this is the source. That's it. That's where Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, to a certain extent, originates. Or certainly in our sources, it's where it originates. Now, what context is it specifically said in? Well, Siman Kuf Chaf Dalid is in the context of Hazarat Hashatz, repetition of the Amidah. But if you've paid attention to the words, the most simple interpretation of Rosh's words are, he would say it under any and every circumstance. Whenever he heard a beracha, he would recite, he would respond, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, to the mention of God's name. What's that? Yoshev ke Moshe Rabbeinu v'doresh derashot mipi ha-givura? Is Rosh making up derashot? No, he's not making up these derashot. He really has sourcing for this. He doesn't have it for his application, but the concept of when God's name is mentioned, you give praise, that pasuk in the Torah, the concept of when a righteous person's name is mentioned, you give praise, it's a Gemara Masechet Yoma Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph Tanya. The Beraita teaches, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasih, quotes that pasuk, Ki shem Adonai yekra, havu godel Eloheinu. Amar lehem Moshe l'Yisrael, says Rabbi, I'll tell you what was taking place. Moshe said to the people, B'sha'a she'ani mazkir she'moshe la kadosh baruch hu, atem, havu godel. When I mention God's name, you guys Havugodil. Now, really, the specific context, again, to keep belaboring the point of context of this beraita, is in Masechet Yoma. It's in the situation of, well, we know this from Yom Kippur, when Shem HaMeforash, right, the explicit name, so to speak, of God was mentioned in the Mikdash, everyone would get down on their knees and or be korea, prostrate themselves downward and say, Baruch Shem Kevod Machuto Le'olam Va'ed. Not exactly Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, not exactly every time God's name is mentioned, but those are the words in the Beraita. Rabbi is somewhat, you know, broad and general in his statement, and continues the Gemara, or maybe it's Beraita as well. Hananya ben Achir bi Yoshua Omer, Zeche Sadik li Bracha, that's that Pasuk in Mishle, Amar lehem Navi li Yisrael, B'sha'a she'ani Mazkir Sadik Olamim, Atem Tenu Bracha. When I mention those who are the greatest of righteous, of Sadikim, you should be blessing them. That's the statement there in the Gemara. Again, the specifics of why this is mentioned in the Gemara, as I'm telling you, is in the context of Yom Kippur. The application to any and every beracha that's being said, or many of the berachot that are being said, that's Rosh. Okay, well, that being the case, before we even move onward on this, well, you just need to ask a few basic questions. And the first of those is, what are we talking about over here? Clearly, Rosh is originating to a certain extent, some sort of mention of Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Now, when he says that, or when it's said in his name, we happen to have it in his She'elot U'Teshubot as well, when it's said in his name, is the suggestion this is the way it's always been? Or is this a novelty of sorts? Is this a minhag which originates with Rosh? Or is he just putting pen to paper or quill to, I don't know, parchment in setting forth what had been done? There's no simple answer to that. The closest you can come to a suggestion for the answer is, well, first and foremost, let's just look empirically. In the Gemara, there's no mention of this. There's many mentions of saying Amen. There's no mention of saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Number two, until Rosh, again, until 14th, late 13th century, there's no mention of this either. It's hard. It's a hard sell to say this was really from the same time we started saying Amen, from the same time we started with the Berachot, from Anshei Knesset HaGedulah, from Ezra. It's hard to make that claim. Well, would you know it? The claim has been made. It's generally speaking a minority opinion, but it's important to be mentioned. In She'elot Tishbot Rav Pe'alim Chelek Bet, Siman Lamed Zayin, or Hayim, Rabbi Yosef Hayim, that's Ben Ish Hai, great rabbi from Baghdad, the end of the 19th into the 20th century, he was asked about Singapore. In Singapore, the question went, during the chuppah, when the rabbis or the individuals would make the sheva berachot, what would happen was they would say, Baruch Atah Hashem, and then everyone wouldn't just say, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, they would say, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. They would have a whole lot of words. Again, a parenthetical comment on this. At my own wedding, I was of the opinion that Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo should not be recited under the chuppah. That was my halachic opinion at the time. I was following one of my rabbis and his strict adherence to this in understanding the berachot in particular halachic fashion. As a result, my father, who was Mesader Kiddushin, said very quietly to all the people up at the chuppah that the hatan, my son, asks that you not say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, his halachic opinion on this matter. So the first beracha was said by Chief Rabbi Kassin, Baruch Atah Hashem, and my father said, Baruch Hu U'Baruch Shemo, and then he quote himself, and you know, it's great on the video, Hazit, I mean, I embarrassed him publicly, inadvertently, right? In other words, he had just told everyone not to, but that's what we do at weddings, at Syrian weddings, we always say Baruch Hu U'Baruch Shemo. So it was so second nature to him after he announced that I asked for it not to be that way. And naturally, me being the young, nervous, halachic individual that I was, I got very nervous and uptight in that moment and throughout the wedding. Regardless, the question over here is not about saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo in general. It's about saying this elongated Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Is that appropriate? So Ben Ish Chai writes back, he says, absolutely not appropriate. Should not be talking like that. Why not? You know, we're praising God's name even more. Says Ben Ish Chai. Now, he could make several claims. His claim is, he does make several claims, but the claim that we need to zone in on, we need to pay special attention to, is what I picked you up in the Teshuvah. Ve'od ani omer sheyesh likro tagar al minhag ir Singapore haniskar ulevatelo mita'am acher, for a different reason. Ve'hu kinimsa hem mishanim Matbea shetab'u hachamim. When we talk about matbea shetab'u hachamim, it's a reference to the specific structure and words of berachot. That's the matbea. That's like the coin. His claim is, when you change Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, you are shifting the words of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. You're shifting the words of the way it was always supposed to and has been said. Now that's a very bold statement. He's claiming that Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo is no different than any other beracha, any other statement. It's like saying Amen Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, something like that. In other words, you're adding words which are inappropriate because we already had a structure. He says, I'm well aware that you're going to tell me this is only from Rosh. He says, but I have from Sefer Haredim. Sefer Haredim, if I'm not mistaken, is a French work several hundred years after Rosh, who quotes this idea in the name of Midrash. Now there's a misunderstanding here, as many have pointed out. He's quoting the concept from the concept of praising God from the Midrash, not the fact that you say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo from the Midrash. But Ben Ish-Hai's understanding of this is, and he's quoting it from Maran HaChidah, is that the rabbis from the Midrash told us say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, which means to say that's the Tofes Beracha, that's Matbea Beracha. You can't just add on to that. He goes further. He says, look in Kabbalistic works. He says Arizal in the Sefer Etz Chaim, in Piri Etz Chaim, it's elaborated upon. They explain the kavanot, the proper intentions to have as you're saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Says Ben Ish-Hai, do you think that this was some 13th, 14th century novelty and the Kabbalists are spending time extrapolating and developing and getting to the depth of what this means? He thinks that's a ludicrous thought. And in turn, his statement, his claim, now already his claim and statement is very bold, but it sheds light on any and everything we're going to discuss afterwards. Which means to say, his claim is that Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo is not just a nice minhag, but it's a necessary halakha. Well, that being the case, if it's a necessary halakha, any and everything we're going to talk about afterwards is not to be taken with that grain of salt of, okay, I guess so, or maybe we should leave it out because, but rather this is something really important. This is what was supposed to be done. This is the way the rabbis envisioned it 2,000 plus years ago. That's a pretty bold claim. He has been subsequently disputed quite conclusively, as Chacham Vadya Yosef points out, before Chacham Vadya Yosef, Rabbi Chaim ben Atar, in his book Rishon LeSion, that's, you know, he's better known as for his book Or HaChaim, his Perush on the Torah. He's an 18th century Moroccan. And then Yerushalmi rabbi. Each of them point out, of course, hundreds of years apart, that this is not the way it originated. It originated with Rosh. There's no mention of it before Rosh. The concept of praising God's name after hearing it, well, that's in the Gemara. What's the Gemara specifically talking about, by the way? When you hear Shema Meforash, when there was the special name of God that was used in the Beit HaMikdash, that's when you said Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. Certainly not Baruch Shem Kavod, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, and not in the Amidah. Okay, we're not disputing that Rosh brought this idea up. We're not going against his concept. But to argue that the strength of this is that that's matbea beracha, the claim is that is wrong. Generally speaking, we assume against Ben Ish-Hai, but I'm telling you already, with that perspective, you'll understand why this is and was such a hotly disputed issue, because Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo is something which was envisioned as being so integral to the prayer, almost as important as the prayers themselves. Okay, well, that's the introduction. First five sources introduce the matter. Now we get to the crux of the matter, the Ronnie Hirsch, Jeffrey Dweck issue. And that is, when a person says Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, are they now disqualifying the beracha that's being made for them? In other words, I'm in synagogue on Rosh Hashanah, and the Hazan opens and begins, Bershut Morai V'Rabotai, Baruch Atah Hashem, and I say, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. He's about to say the beracha on Shofar. Am I not fulfilling my beracha now, which I need to have? I'm just fulfilling it, Shomea Ka'oneh, by hearing it and responding Amen, or just by hearing it. He fulfills it for me by saying, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Did I mess something up? What would be the claim that I do mess it up? What would be the claim that I invalidated my association? The claim would be something called hefsek. In other words, if I'm to envision very concretely that you said those words for me, Well, it means those words and nothing else. The beracha on lulav is Baruch Atah Hashem Kenu Melech Haolam Hashem Kedushan Mitzvotav Zvanu on Netilat Lulav. There's no Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in the middle. The fact that I injected those words Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo could or perhaps should invalidate. That's the argument against it. I'm going to very briefly, we're not going to return to the logic because the logic will not have any role in the rest of this class. I'm just playing out the logic initially. The counterclaim is, Hebraic, Shomeach Ka'oneh doesn't mean I'm actually saying the words with you, like you. It means I'm associating myself with you. You said those words. I tapped on. I said Amen, maybe. I held onto your back. I held your hand as you were saying it. It's as if I said it. That I said Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo in the middle, that it is no hefsek. I wasn't actually saying the words. You know, Limashal, for example, where Posek La'alacha, Shulchan Aruch says it. If you're in the middle of saying Amidah, and the Hazan, the Kahal, gets up to Naktishach, should you keep quiet? Or should you just continue praying? Well, if you keep quiet, the claim of Tosafot in Masechet Berachot goes, if you keep quiet, it's as if you're saying the words. If it's as if you're saying the words, well, that's problematic because now you have a hefsek in your Amidah. You're not allowed to just stop and talk about things in the middle of the Amidah, regardless of how important they are. Alternatively, Rashi and Shulchan Aruch or Posek Lahalacha, that's not so. Even though you heard Naktishach in the middle of Amidah, you can keep quiet, but it's a hefsek. Not a hefsek. I'm tapping into their words, but I'm not actually saying their words. Well, those are the two basic, I'm simplifying, arguments to and against saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo when you're fulfilling a mitzvah through the beracha of another. That being the case, I will pause for a second and say, pay attention the next time you're in synagogue on Rosh Hashanah or any other circumstance where, let's leave synagogue out of it. You're in your home on Friday night and someone's saying Kiddush. Have you ever heard someone pause in the middle and say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo? I think you'll say never. Well, why not? Apparently, our widespread custom today, or halakha today, has come to be that saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo stops the beracha and in turn makes it that it can't associate with me. How long have we been so stringent on this matter? Well, it goes back some time. This was a debate throughout the generations. And again, for me, more than the small issue of Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, the development of it and the big shift, the big 20th century reversal is the most fascinating for me. In the book Devar Shmuel was written by Bishmuel Abuhab. Bishmuel Abuhab, if I'm not mistaken, he was born in Germany, but he spent most of his life, I think, in Italy as a 17th century rabbi. He writes, "V'hine sefatai lo achalen siman rashbresh sadihe lomar be'inyan ze ma shekvar hizharti po liksat ha'averim sheminhag harosh anizkar la'aniyut ha'ati hu davka la'anot baruchu baruch shemo achar mvarech beracha she'en ha'one hayav ba." There's the key words. The only time you say baruchu baruch shemo is if I'm not obligated in this beracha. It's hazarat hashat. I already said amidah. What am I doing? I'm listening to it. Say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, praise God's name. But if it's a beracha that I'm obligated in, that I'm trying to fulfill, says Bishmuel Abuhab, absolutely not. Aval atzet yedei chovat eze beracha shu hayav ba, beberkat havero, hamechaven lehotziyo v'sagile lechaven da'ato mitchila v'atzof, eno ra'uy lehafsik kelal ba'aniyat Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. He says it's inappropriate. You should not have a hefsek in there. You should instead just listen to the words and say Amen. Okay, now that's taken in a vacuum. Great, early 17th century source from Italy. Seems adamant somewhat about not saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. What was going on? Can we figure out what were people doing? We certainly can. We know Ma'aseh Rokeach, a contemporary, a 17th century, first in Poland, I think in Krakow, and he moves to Israel at the end of his life, Bilazar Rokeach. He writes in his Ma'aseh Rokeach, what are you talking about? Have you been around? Have you noticed that everyone says Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo all the time in Kiddush and Havdalah and Berachav Shofar and any and every other Beracha? And you're going to give me your logical reasons why it's not okay? I'll systematically debunk them. I'll systematically refute them one after another. In other words, the halachic argument, the logic, is not so strong to argue against saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. And the minhag, the prevalent custom, he says, so we all say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. We've always been doing it. Not only the lay people, the rabbis, the scholars, the elite as well. Interesting. Well, that's that claim. What about back in Italy? Italy, 18th century, Rabbi David Pardo, in his book Shoshanim LeDavid and Masechet Berachot, Perek Het, Mishnah Het, he says, V'hineh, he says, and it appears. Now, what he did over here is he initially quotes from those rabbis who lived about 100 years before him, sources 6 and 7. And then he concludes and says, listen, this argument, there's no real strong one opinion over the other. There's no victor. I mean, it reminds me of in school when the students will say, so who won, Abaye or Rava? Well, in those it's easier. But, you know, in Rav or Shmuel, who won? The answer is the Gemara, you know, presented both opinions. They both had good claims. And nobody won. We might be posek la'alacha, but nobody conclusively proved it. Says Shoshanim LeDavid, same thing over here. Nobody conclusively proved al pi halacha the way it should be. Furthermore, as I said, Ma'aseh Rokeach says this is the prevalent minhag. Says Shoshanim LeDavid, however, says Rabbi David Pardo, again, an 18th century Italian, important Sephardic posek halachic decisor. He writes in his Shoshanim LeDavid, he says, but there's another issue. You ever been in a synagogue and they say, Baruch Atah Hashem, and the whole kahal says, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, and then you miss the next words. So it's the same thing in Kiddush. Someone's saying, Kiddush, Baruch Atah Hashem, everyone says, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, and you didn't hear the next words, Mekadesh HaShabbat. Says Shoshanim LeDavid, leave the halachic intricacies, minutia out of this, just practically, pragmatically. You're not going to be able to hear all the words of the Berachat. Don't say, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, please. Now, what's taking place in his time? Not fully clear to me, but that's his pesach halacha on this matter. He's followed by an Algerian rabbi in 18th century. Afterwards, in Israel, Matei Yehuda, Chacham Yehuda Ayash, Chacham Yehuda Ayash says, "V'zeni ra lefiyani utaati ta'am ba'ikar v'hu lavid yasim urvo lehaspik b'maniach minhag hazeh mashnit pashet haminhag le'omro." Wait a second. The widespread minhag is that people say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. You say in Kiddush, and they say Baruch Mishum delav kule alma dina gimire. Now, before I explain to you what those words mean, you'll understand already. I keep asking, what were people doing? The answer is, everyone was still saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. That's what we've always been doing, it sounds like. At the very least, for several hundred years at this point, they've been saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo whenever God's name was mentioned. You know, it reminds me of, you know, if you speak to a good traditional Israeli or a traditional, I don't know, Iraqi, there's always a Yishtabach Shemo La'ad, right? Always, always Yishtabach. That's what it was, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. You couldn't mention God's name without a Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. You know, like the Shweki song. You know, everyone says Yishtabach Shemo La'ad, right? And so his claim is, but why is everyone Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemoing? He says, Lav kule alma dina gimire. Not everyone knows the halacha. He says, you should understand over here, this is all a minhag b'ta'ut. And he says, it was a mistake. And Rosh never said it outside of Amidav Hazarat Hashas. This was a minhag b'ta'ut. This is one of those, it's already shaping up very quickly within several hundred years of its appearance to be one of these interesting circumstances where everyone seems to be doing something. For generation after generation, there are mefakpekim, there are those who dissent and doubt this minhag, never strong enough to annul it. And then throughout, you have the repeated mention of, but this is what we do. Yeah, Jack, that's right. This sounds like a mimetic tradition. Now, again, a mimetic tradition, in other words, what we've done will stand strong if it has halachic backing. Does this have halachic backing? As we've said several times, Ma'aseh Rokeach stood up to bat and hit a home run. There was no claim here that halachically speaking, there's any conclusive evidence one way over the other. Are we fearful maybe that there's a hifzik? Maybe. But we don't actually have that fear, and we've always been doing it. Okay, leave the Sephardic world alone for a second. What's taking place in the Ashkenazic world? Well, I didn't put it on the source sheet, but Gaon Mivilna. Gaon Mivilna is already early 18th century. Gaon Mivilna in early 18th century, it's quoted by his students, for several Kabbalistic and Peshat reasons, he would never say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, even in Hazarat Hashat. And as I mentioned to you earlier, that was as far as my father told me when he was younger. I haven't watched him recently, but he said he didn't say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Why not? His Rabbi Soloveitchik, who was, you know, this descendant of that school of thought of Brisk, which in turn turned to be Chaim of Volozhin, which in turn turned to Gaon Mivilna, they followed many of the minhagim of Gaon Mivilna, and they wouldn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in Hazarat Hashatz. Rabbi Soloveitchik developed it further, and he described the Hazarat Hashatz as a Tfilat HaSibur. It's almost like the Kabbalistic notion we've mentioned on several occasions, that Hazarat Hashatz has this own life to it. But okay, Tfilat HaSibur, no Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. It reminds me of my brother once came to visit me when I was studying in yeshiva, and the yeshiva I studied in after high school for 2 years was a great student of Rabbi Soloveitchik, and the minhag in the yeshiva, the halacha in the yeshiva was no Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. So you had Hazarat Hashatz, and everyone just stood there, no Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo at all. My brother came, didn't know that that was what was going on, and he noticed that it was awfully silent during Hazarat Hashatz. Everyone standing with their feet together, no Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. So my brother started belting out Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, and it was one after another, and I wasn't even standing next to him. And at the time, again, the halacha, the minhag in the yeshiva was we stood with our feet together, we didn't move. So I couldn't even motion, I couldn't even get to him. And then after he did it, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 times, really belting it out, he said to me afterwards, he was trying to, you know, save the yeshiva. They weren't saying Baruch Hu. Someone tapped him and said, you know, we're not doing that here. Anyway, that being the case, so already in the Ashkenazic world, you have already a feeling that Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, although it originates with Rosh, never took hold as much. Furthermore, around the same time, a little bit later, Nodat Bihunda, Rabbi Yechezkel Landa, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Chaf Dalet, he's commenting on the words of Magen Abraham. In this context, he writes, V'kal v'chomer, in source number 10, in Dagul Mirvava, Bibrachot Shehashatz Motzi O Yedei Chovato. He says, certainly in circumstances where the Shaliach Sibur, someone is fulfilling that beracha for you, Kegon, Berkat Shofar, Umegilah, those sorts of beracha, Shelo Yafsik La'anot Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Now, the chief rabbi of Prague saying this, Dagul Mirvava, is a stamp of authority. Moreover, it seems to be, this is just in the Ashkenazic world, what was being done. Either they weren't saying it at all, can't conclusively prove that they were all following Gaon Mivilna, but certainly in these contexts, on the Kiddush, on the Havdalah, on the Mikra Megillah, on the Shofar, it was just not being said. Furthermore, in the Eastern Europe world, you know, in the Lubavitch world, in Shulchan Aruch Harav, Rabbi Schneer Zalman of Layedi, right, the 18th century father of Chabad Hasidut, and what the Sfaradim like to call Shulchan Aruch Dirbi Zalman, but the Lubavitchers call it Shulchan Aruch Harav, he's the Rav, the Alter Rebbe. Anyway, he writes, not only should you not say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in these sorts of circumstances, if you did so, you won't fulfill the beracha. In other words, it's a hifsek to the extent that you said Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, say another kiddush. You said Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, you didn't fulfill the beracha on Shofar on Lulav. That's a new, whole nother level. His statement on this was copied over in less authoritative wording, but same idea, he's not fully strong on this, by Aruch HaShulchan down to our days, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the Ashkenazic Poskei Halacha are and have been very strong on this. Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, in the context of a beracha, you want to be Yotzei Yedei Chovah, is not only inappropriate, it's problematic to the extent that you would need to repeat the beracha. You didn't fulfill your beracha in that context. Okay, well, we've settled the Ashkenazic world from then until now. But the Sephardic world was a little bit more filled with tension. What was taking place? Again, we made our way to, I don't know, mid-18th century. Let's make our way to the end of the 18th century, into the beginning of the 19th century. Rabbi Chaim Yosef David Azulay, Old Faithful, Maran Hachida. In his book, Birkei Yosef, in Siman Resh Yod Gimal, Ot Gimal, he quotes many of the sources we're familiar with already. He quotes Devar Shemuel, right? Rabbi Shemuel Abuhab, source number 6. He then quotes Shoshanim LeDavid, a few sources afterwards. And then he writes Ve'ata in source number 12, 3 lines from the bottom. Emet Agid, I'm going to tell you the truth. Ki kim'at she'avarti beperek zeh, lo matzati ra'aya machrachat b'mi she'mechavin lishmo kol ha'barachah le'echad min ha'tzadin. He says, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a strong halachic opinion on this matter. It's hard to, as we've said 25 times, conclusively prove one side is right and the other is wrong. Omnam, however, ho'il v'nafak mipum aryavata, since the great lions, the great rabbis I mentioned earlier, Devar Shemuel, Shoshanim LeDavid, think that you shouldn't be making Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in these contexts, nachon nizaher, so don't. However, don't, if you see someone, if you're in your home and someone says Baruch Hu, don't tell them they're wrong. There's no reason to tell them they're wrong. We can't conclusively prove this. He goes further in his book Tov Ayin, or Tuv Ayin, Siman Yod Chet Od Mem Aleph. He writes at the end, Minhag Ha'olam Lehepich. He says, the Minhag Ha'olam. Now again, he's living in Turkey, Italy, Israel, all sorts of places over the course of his life. He writes, the Minhag Ha'olam, what seems to be the prevalent custom, at least in the Sephardic Middle Eastern world, is people say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo in all of these circumstances and situations. Any and every time they hear God's name mentioned in the Beracha, they say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, ve'en limchot bi'adam. And don't tell them that they're wrong. Don't correct them. Okay, we made our way into the beginning of the 19th century. What about going forward? Well, I'm going to bring you forward just a bit. I'll bring you forward first a lot and then scale it back a little bit. First a lot in Sheilot Teshubot Shemesh Umagin, Chaylik Bet Siman Lamedal. It's a rabbi we mentioned either last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe both. Rabbi Shalom Masas. Rabbi Shalom Masas was the rabbi, the chief rabbi of the old city of Yerushalayim. He died in, the Sephardic chief rabbi at least. I think. He died in 2003. I think my father told me that my father, one or two summers, went to Israel and he studied in the Shehebar Institute. And I don't remember, maybe he was learning Nisuin, he was learning those halachot. And so Rabbi Sammy, in order to get him a kitab, brought him to meet with Rabbi Masas afterwards. That's my association with Rabbi Masas. But as I mentioned in the past, Rabbi Masas was a Moroccan rabbi, staunch. I think he moved to Israel in the 1980 or something like that, late, and staunched in Moroccan minhagim. But nonetheless, the Chacham Vadia Yosef had a tremendous respect for him, almost an awe and reverence. They disagreed in halakha, but he never knocked him out. He always gave him a lot of strength and authority. So the question he was asked in this Teshubah, and he writes about it over the course of the next three Teshubot, he was asked, now that you're living in Israel, you moved from Morocco, what do you do? We know that the Israeli minhag seems to be that they don't say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shimon, all the berachot. Wow, look at that, 1980 already, early 1980s. Well, this is after the early 1980s. This is probably written in the 1990s, but they're already not saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo in those contexts. What about you, Rabbi? Now that you're living in Israel, did you change? He writes, I'm going to tell you the truth. Miyom bo ila aretz ve'adata zeyot bet shanim v'yote. I'm here more than 12 years. Lo shaniti shum minhag mima shayiti noheg b'Morocco. I didn't change anything from what I used to practice and do in Morocco. And as a result, I say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo on everything. Not only that, you know how wonderful, how meritorious it is, how appropriate it is to Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, to praise God's name. The Gemara, the Ben Ish Chai, all these sources, that's the appropriate thing. It's our minhag. It's what we've been doing. It, to a certain extent, has become our halakha. He writes it, like I've just mentioned it to you. He says you should look three lines into that second paragraph. At the end, he quotes from Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Rabbi Toledano. Rabbi Toledano was a Moroccan rabbi who died in the mid-20th century, and he wrote a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He wrote a shortened law book. Now, his shortened law book was, generally speaking, following Moroccan customs. The Yosef family say that when the book came to Israel, he sent to Chacham Vadia Yosef and then ultimately met with Chacham Vadia Yosef and asked him as a young man, Chacham Vadia was a young man, to edit it and to change the halakhot to the appropriate ones as he knew them. But Rabbi Toledano died before Chacham Vadia Yosef was able to do so. So it was published, and if you ask me, I'm very happy about that, without his emendations, without his changes. You got the pure-ish Moroccan Pesach halakha. He says, look over there. It says to say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shimon, all berachot. He quotes from Rabbi Machlof Abu Hatzira. Same thing in his book Yafeh Sha'a, in book Yehavedat of Hamitzchak Hazan. As well, as in many of these books, they describe the Moroccan minhag as saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shimon. And he says, and a minhag, do you know how important minhagim are? Minhag Yisrael Torahi. Minhag establishes the practice, using the words that Jack, I haven't used those words in a while in these classes, the mimetic tradition to a certain extent establishes what the halakha is or should be. Well, that being the case, where are we left in this context? We have raced ahead to, again, late 20th century. Well, what was taking place a little bit before that? Did the Sephardic world get won over? Was it only Morocco? It wasn't only Morocco. In Turkey in the 19th century, the great Rabbi Chaim Palachi, is in the world of Sephardic halakha. He's a prolific writer, and his books, although not written in the way that we generally imagine, you know, they're it's hard to find things in them. They are extremely integral and important for Sephardic Pesach Halacha. Just a bit ago at my great uncle's Levaya, Rabbi Hamazriel Mansur, who today is the rabbi of Yeshivat Shuvi Nafshi, they've published 20 plus books of B'Chaim Palachi, because B'Chaim Palachi was a Kabbalist as well, in the old school Sephardic Middle Eastern type of approach. He said that it was all with that grant that my great uncle gave to the yeshiva over the course of the years that they published these books. The books are wonderful. When I saw Hamazriel afterwards, I said, well, if my family was a part of this, can I have some of the books for free? He said, of course, just never got them. So, you know, if you have access to them, Jack, if you could tell him I'm interested in all of B'Chaim Palachi's books, it'd be fantastic. Anyway, that being the case, in the book Chaim Lerosh, which is his Minhagim and Halachot for Lil Seder, he writes the following. Yazhir HaMivarech, the head of the Seder, on Pesach, should tell everyone, Mikodem, beforehand, Libnei Beto Shia'anu Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo Ve'amen Al Kol Beracha Beracha Bechavana Gedola B'Simcha Rabba Ve'lo Yom Medaberim Kala B'Shat HaBeracha V'Gam Acharei, and so forth. He says, what should you tell everyone at the beginning of the Seder? Make sure everyone say Amen to the Berachot and say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. My goodness. That's what he's telling you in Turkey in the 20th century. It's supposed to be said, and that is what's taking place in She'elot Teshuvot Lev Chaim, which is a subsequent book by Rabbi Chaim Palachi. In Siman Kuf Het, he writes the following. Someone writes to him and says, how'd you write that in your book? To say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo? Inappropriate to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Shouldn't be saying it. He says, don't you know the minhag? Aren't you aware of what's going on? I understand the claim against it, but this is Hanach Lahem Yisrael. This is the minhag. We say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in Kiddush. We say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in Havdalah and so forth. It means that the minhag among Sfaradim, now we're again into 19th century and beyond, not only in Morocco. What about in Tunisia, in Jerba, in She'elot Teshuvot Shoel V'Nishal, Rabbi Kalfon Moshe HaKohen, in Siman Chafeh, he quotes from Birkei Yosef. He doesn't say exactly what they're doing, but he does say, if you see someone saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo on a beracha that they want to fulfill, don't correct them. Just leave them. There's a machloket on this matter. You can let it be. In Netive Am of Rabbi Amram Aburbe, this book, I didn't even know I owned this book. I was just unpacking some of my books, and it's fantastic that I own it. I forgot that I own this book. Anyway, I've been complaining how I can't find books because I moved, but now I found Netive Am last week. Anyway, in here, in his book, he says, you want to know what the minhag is in Yerushalayim? Now, Rabbi Amram Aburbek dies in 1966. I looked this up before the class. So he's recording halachot in the 1960s or so. He quotes at the end of the halacha, I know this is against the will of Chacham Vadia Yosef. He says, listen, the minhag in Yerushalayim amongst the Sfaradim is to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo on berachot, even that you want to fulfill. You want to tell me in other places we'll follow Chacham Vadia in order to check? Okay, but in Yerushalayim, this is the minhag that we say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo on any and every beracha. Anan bedidan min hagen b'Yerushalayim la'anot al kol beracha. He writes here in Siman Kuf Samech Zayin. Well, we made our way into mid-20th century, and again, I challenge you, anywhere but a Moroccan synagogue, have you seen people saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo? I imagine the answer is no, when they want to fulfill a mitzvah. Have you ever been at a meal with people who know halacha, and they say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in Kiddush? It appears as if people were doing it, not only Moroccans, for quite some time. Although Netive Am, although Rabbi Aburbe was Moroccan, he's attesting to the fact that this was the minhag in Yerushalayim. All right, steps in Chacham Vadia Yosef. As we've been mentioning his name throughout, as someone who's looking to revolutionize halacha, who's looking to set it the way, quote, it should be, not necessarily the way it has been. Maybe there's not strong enough to the fact that it's been that way. We need to set it the way I think it should be. In his She'elot Teshuvot Yehavedat Chelek Dal Siman Tet, he had already written about this in his Chazon Ovadia. He'll subsequently write about it in Halichot Olam, a little bit in Yabia Omer. All of his books, he's going to write about this. He, on any and every occasion, brought this up to talk about as well. I personally heard him talk about this more than once. He writes, firstly, Netive Am, about the minhag of Yerushalayim, imo ha-selicha. I'm very sorry. She'en ze minhag miyusad al pi hachamim ha-bikim ba-halacha. Maybe that's the minhag of Yerushalayim, but it was wrongful minhag. Who said? What do you mean? That's what we've always been doing. We said there's machlokas, discussion in the poskim. So you forgot? Chacham Yehuda Ayash? Remember Chacham Yehuda Ayash? What source was that? That was source number 9. Remember source number 9? Matei Yehuda, Chacham Yehuda Ayash said this minhag, if they're doing it, it was all a mistake, and it's lav kule alma bikie gimire bedina. They don't know the halacha. Says Chacham Yehuda, that's right. This was all a mistake. Ukvar katvu maran hachida. Maran hachida, we know what he says. He says there are different minhagim on this, and if someone's asking, tell them not to. But the minhag Yisrael, he says, is that they're saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. But he goes on and he says, but if you have a wrongful minhag, and he gives you a whole slew of sources who say, if there's a wrongful minhag, stop doing it. That's great, Chacham Vadya Yosef. But how did we determine this was a wrongful minhag? Because someone who was unhappy with it said, this is not minhag amyusad al pi hachamim. It wasn't established by the rabbis. Hard to determine that. Are we calling Ma'aser Okeach a non-rabbi? Or we're saying he's defending a minhag that was not rabbinic? Are we saying that about any and everyone else who discussed this matter? Va'ani, he writes at the end, al mishmarti a'amoda, I will stand on my guard. Shemitzvah lehazbir, ulefarsim rabbim, b'shi'ure Torah u'drashot, she'en la'anot baruchu baruch shemo, b'brachot mechuyavod ha'shom'im. Make sure you make it clear when you give your classes before the holidays, when you're talking about prayer, when you're talking about berachot, tell them, don't say baruchu baruch shemo. Make sure that this becomes something which is widespread and understood and known to anyone and everyone. And indeed, he went ahead and did it. And as I mentioned earlier, conquered the Sephardic halachic world on this. It wasn't so hard, because the Ashkenazic world had already embraced this 300 years earlier, as we discussed. The Ashkenazic world weren't saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in any of the berachot that they wanted to be Yotzeh for quite some time. In his book, Halichot Olam Chelek Aleph, page Ayin Tet, Chacham Vadya Yosef similarly and furthermore writes, Chenani noeg lehazhir al ze bidrashotai v'shi'urai. When I give classes, when I give talks, I always remind the people, Ashrehem Yisrael Kedoshim. And look how praiseworthy Am Yisrael are, Sheshom'im lekol morim v'nohagim kedivrehem. They listen to their rabbis and teachers. In other words, he's already smirking a little. This is written in the late 1990s. He knows he won on this one. Mitzvah leodia barabim shelo ya'anu baruchu baruch shemo bibracha shiyosim bayidei chova. Make sure you tell them not to say baruchu baruch shemo. He goes onward and he quotes several Ashkenazic poskim whom we mentioned earlier, who say, not only is it a problem, not appropriate to say baruchu baruch shemo, but it's a problem to the extent that you'd have to repeat the beracha. Who'd we mention earlier? Right, we mentioned the Baal HaTanya, Shulchan Aruch Dir Bizalman. We mentioned as well Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the latest, Aruch HaShulchan, and several others. He says, I'm not going to go that far. If you're at your home and someone says baruchu baruch shemo to your kiddush, they don't need to repeat the kiddush. It's okay, we know about Ma'aser Rokeach, but tell them not to. Remind them, next time you shouldn't be doing this. That's his Pesach Halacha, and he was, until the end, strong on this to the extent that he changed it. He really changed the reality. He had a contemporary, Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Voldenberg. Rabbi Voldenberg died in 2006. Rabbi Voldenberg was, the way Chacham Baruch said it, used to hang around the Sfaradim. He was interested in Halacha, and he was an Ashkenazi, so he would hang out a little bit with the Sfaradim during that time period. And he was good friends with many of them. He was on the Beit Din together, in Rabbanut, together with Chacham Vadya and others. Anyway, in his book, in Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yod Aleph, Siman Yod Od Gimal, he writes the following. He says, first and foremost, as I told you already, the minhag of Ashkenazim has been for quite some time, he writes, or always has been, we don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo Berachot, we want to be Yotze. Right? Uledaat Gamzot, Veladaat Gamzot, he writes in the second paragraph, the minhagad, the kol edot Ashkenazim, kan birushalayim, b'chol makom, hua epech habarur mima shemeidim mehanahu getzel edot asfaradim. It's the opposite of what you Moroccan people are telling me you do. We've never done it that way, that's Ashkenazim. What about Moroccans? What about Sfaradim? He's not really going to be posik for them, but he's going to throw his opinion in there. He says, I found in a book of Rabbi Rafael Elazar HaLevi. Who was he? He was the rabbi, this is in the last paragraph here in source number 20, he was the rabbi and posek halacha for the Adat HaMa'aravim, the Westerners, I assume it means the Moroccans, in Yerushalayim. And in his book, listen to what he writes, word for word, identical to something we saw earlier. He writes in his book that, First and foremost, this is a mahloket between earlier sources. And his opinion is you shouldn't say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. But even if you think you could say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, you might be swallowing the beracha because you're saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, and the continued words of Mekadesh HaShabbat, you're not going to hear them. That's the reason not to. Whose words were those? That's Shoshanim the David's words. It's identical. He's not plagiarizing. He's quoting Rabbi David Pardo. But here's Tzitz Eliezer. He says, guess what? I found a Moroccan source who agrees with the proper approach. Not really. He was kind of quoting Shoshanim le David, although it is interesting that a Moroccan rabbi is looking to maybe change something in Yerushalayim at that time period. Okay, but where did this leave us? Where does this leave us? As I've mentioned to you throughout this class, and I think you knew or know where we're going with this, we've seen a storied history to this. We talked about the origins of Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo seemingly in 14th century Germany / Spain with Rosh and his son Tur. We've discussed then the specifics of saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, not in Hazarat Hashatz, but in Berachot that you want to be Yotzei. The Ashkenazic world, we said, was generally speaking strong on this matter and saying, don't say it in those circumstances, following Nodav Yehudan, his book Tagul Mirevava, and several others. To the extent that the general consensus of Ashkenazic poskim is, it messed up your beracha to the extent that you'll need to repeat the beracha. Great. What about the Sephardic world? It's not only the Moroccans, or the Turkish, or the Algerians, or the Tunisians. It seems to have been for quite some time, Birkei Yosef attests to it, being the minhag of many. Now there are rabbis questioning it and not doubtful about this. This was the minhag not only of the lay people, but of the scholars and rabbinic elite as well. It takes us to mid-20th century, and Chacham Vadya Yosef gets a strength, begins writing, begins speaking about this, and changes what was halakha. Now again, it brings us back to a motif in understanding halakha, whereas the general consensus of, in my mind, the trajectory of halakha, decisors, goes like this. If this is the way we've done it, unless you could find a reason why it's absolutely wrong, not why maybe it's ideal to do differently, that is the halakha. Chacham Vadya Yosef had a different thought on this matter. As we did in the class several times, he changed what we did. He didn't enhance or embrace what we do. He changes what we do. It's what he did throughout his career whenever he had the opportunity to win it. And as a result, several of his contemporaries, B. Moshe Levi, for example, who's a little bit more mild than him, writes in his book, Birkat Hashem, Chelek Aleph, Perek Vav, Ot Kafhet, Kesheshomea Adam Haskarat Shem Hashem Beberacha Shemevarech Havero. If you hear someone else say the beracha, you should say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. What about im mitkaven latzet yedei chovat haberacha? You want to fulfill shomea ka'oneh, you heard his word. Nachon, ideal, shelo ya'aneh Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Umi she'oneh Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, gam al beracha kazo, en limhot bo, you shouldn't put him down, behozek, don't harshly put him down. Chacham Vadya Yosef doesn't like those words. What do you mean? Of course you should harshly put him down. Tell him he did it wrong. Okay, so it's a little bit more moderate, but he's also a posek halacha, Rabbi Levi, in Yeshivat Kisei Rachamim. Yeshivat Kisei Rachamim is Jerba, is descendants of, is students of Rabbi Meir Mazuz. It's descendants of several important Tunisian rabbis who we mentioned earlier in Shelot Tishbot Shoel V'Nishal were somewhat open to saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Well, would you know it, a contemporary rabbi, Rabbi Adir Cohen, in his book Vayan HaKohen, Chelek Aleph Siman Yod Bet, a book I don't own, found on Otsar HaChokhmah, he first and foremost says, not so clear. You know, even those German rabbis, even Rabbi Kalfon Moshe HaKohen, they weren't saying you should say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. They were saying it's not so bad to say it. He says, I spoke to their grandsons. I looked in the books of their sons. He never meant that they themselves don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. He goes on and he says, on the top of page 6, in a footnote, Shuv Yatzal Le'or Kuntres. There was a booklet that came out, Asher B'Shem, what's the name of that halachic booklet? Baruch Hu U Baruch Shemo. I mean, look at what we have come to. We're writing books, pamphlets on Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. It's enough that I'm giving an hour class on Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Full pamphlet. And what does he have? Yechune leharav elad portal. It's an uborishima shel asrot poskim, tens of poskim who say hasovrim shesarich la'anot Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo that you're supposed to. Says Rabbi Cohen in this book Vayan HaKohen. Not so fast. Not so simple. Whatever. even until today, this is still a debate, still a discussion. There are those who are trying to push back on this revolutionary change. Not strong enough at all. You could write to Kuntres. You don't have the halachic strength to change this at this point. And to a certain extent, you won't. If the minhag becomes to not say it, that becomes the accepted norm and halacha lemaaseh. In fact, the current chief rabbi, Chacham Yitzchak Yosef, more than once told this story. It's in source number 23. He says, one time, Chacham Ben Siona Bashel, who was the head rabbi of Yeshivat Porat Yosef, for many years, Chacham Vadia Yosef lived upstairs, and Chacham Ben Siona, I think, lived downstairs on Rehov Elkanah in Yerushalayim, and they were very close. They studied together. They were part of that golden age in Porat Yosef with Rabbi Shalush, Chacham Baruch, and so many others. Anyway, that Chacham Zion Levi and whatever, that crew. So Chacham Ben Zion HaBashol came to visit in Yeshivat Hazon Ovadia and Chacham Yitzchak Yosef, the current chief rabbi's yeshiva. And he said he was sitting down and greeting some of his students, and he turned to Chacham Yitzchak and he says, you know, your father and I were not so different. He said, what do you mean? He says, you know, I disagree with your father on some things. No kidding. He says, yeah, I'll tell you, we're not really separated by all that much. What do you mean, Chacham Ben Zion? He said, here's the difference between your father and me. I see halacha and I notice the minhag. And if the minhag is one way, even if ideally I think the halacha should be different, I'll find reason to uphold the minhag and establish that as the normative halacha. That's what it is, minhag Yisrael Torah. Your father, if he thinks it's wrong, not wrong and there's only one way of thinking about this, but if he thinks there's another way, an ideal way, he'll throw down the system. Says Chacham Yitzchak in the footnote, well, he said this publicly, it's published in the footnote, you should know my father did that in many contexts. And he says, what authority did my father have? This is the interesting spin. We've discussed until now that Chacham Vadia Yosef said, my authority is, this was a faulty minhag. They shouldn't have been doing this. It was a mistake. Not so strong, because we saw that it had been discussed. Says his son, says Chacham Yitzchak, I'll tell you his authority. He was the Gadol Hador. And the greatest of the generation has that authority to take down the establishment. He can clean the swamp. He has the capability to do so, whereas nobody else has the capability. Now, he tries to prove this. He quotes from Pri Hadash and others. But that's his claim on his father. The authority that Chacham Vadia had to run against the halachic establishment, to run against the halachic norm was, he was the greatest in his generation. He says he did it on several other things in the footnote. Note over here, it says, Baruch Hashem, the last three lines, Maran, he's referring to his father, Zichron Tzadik Livracha, Shina Letoba, he changed for the good, Kama Minhagim, several Minhagim, Kigon Levarech Al Hadlakat Nerot, Be'ilav Shabbat Kodem Hadlaka, the one we mentioned a week or two ago, to make the Beracha on Hadlakat Nerot, before Shabbat, before you light, whereas the Ashkenazim, and generally speaking, Sfaradim as well, made the Beracha after lighting, Chacham Vadia Yosef changed it, that they make it before, which, by the way, just this past Shabbat, I saw from Chacham Yitzchak Shehebar, I was preparing a class on something altogether different, but in the same Tishu B'Av, he writes, the Minhag in Halab, Ima, this is important for you, he writes, the Minhag in Halab was to make it beforehand. And he writes, Kemoshe Katav Chacham Vadia. I don't know, regardless, he says that his father changed that, She'en La'anot Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, B'Barachot She'yotzim Bahin Yedei Chova, and furthermore, don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, which we've discussed over there, V'Shelo La'amot Ba'aseret HaDiberot B'Kriyat HaTorah B'Sibur, which we've also discussed on several occasions about sitting down when the Baal Koreh reads the Aseret HaDiberot. Again, piecing it all together without getting into the specifics again, what we've hopefully developed, discussed, and described over here is a long development. Now, not as long as some others, because this one spans some 700 at most years, but the real development in my mind that I wanted to zone in most upon is in the last 60, 70 years. And it's something that at this point shouldn't surprise you all that much. And that is that whereas for several hundred years there were debates, there were discussions, but the practice is what determined what was being done. It's this revolutionary approach of Chacham Vadia. It's that counter cultural, halachic cultural approach to halacha in which the minhag, call it the mimetic tradition, call it the noha, call it the halicha of what's been done, not as important, not as sufficient in establishing the halacha as much as what I think it should be. On this particular issue, it's quite interesting that that's his stance. Because on this particular issue, as we developed, there was never a strong grounding one way over the other. But over the course of generations, everyone was a little bit circumspective and thought, maybe we should change it. Says Chacham Vadia Yosef, enough with the maybe we should change it. He went ahead and changed it. And the authority and the strength that he had, as I mentioned several times throughout, I think you'll be hard-pressed to find an individual who even knows that their grandfather said Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo in the Berachot of Kiddush, in the Berachot of Havdalah when they were being Yotze, because today the world has been conquered to the extent that I imagine in many Moroccan kihilot, even, they too do not say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. When or how will that change? Only time knows. But generally speaking, that became the accepted Pesach Halacha. In my mind, to go back on that takes a whole nother revolution. You can't just now step in and change that. That became the Nohag. That became what is done. And in turn, the Halacha L'Maaseh.